that is. And again, I'm sorry if you're not into the World Cup, or if your team isn't in the World Cup.
Oh.
But I would like to maintain that theme for just a little bit longer and entitle this brief lesson, How to Win the Cup. We'd all love to know how to win the cup, and a lot of nations would indeed as well. And there have been a lot of standout moments so far in this World Cup. For personally speaking, as an Englishman, Germany leaving the tournament has been the highlight, and I don't care what else happens from now on. So I'm really sorry if you're German, but you've had a really good long run, okay? So don't begrudge me my moment. Now, I've got a few questions for you about the World Cup, and the first question is only to be answered by people under the age of 13. So that does exclude you, Ben Dannett. Under the age of 13 only for this first question. How many teams are taking part, have been taking part in this year's World Cup? You put your hand up and I'll call on you. Do you know? 32. How did you know that? That is the correct answer. You get a football delivered specially for you by Jude Makinson. One football for EVA. 30. How did she know 32? I didn't know 32 until I looked it up. That's impressive. You didn't whisper in her ear, did you, Dad? No, well, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Okay, question open to anybody, but it has to be a hand up. I'm not taking shouted answers. If you shout, you ain't getting ours. Ain't getting an answer. Okay. Let's see. How many times has the World Cup been played since it began? Including this tournament, how many times, how many World Cups? Not you, Dad, you've already got, your daughter's already got something. Rob? 21 is the correct answer for Rob McKenzie. A football will be delivered. Can you kick it into the space?
I'll kick it.
Come on, Jude's gonna kick it. We want you to keep, mind the camera. Mind your heads, everybody. Okay. All right, that goes over to Rob McKenzie over there. 21 tournaments have been played, including this one. Only two have been missed during the Second World War and just after. Right, okay, another question. Okay, here's a good one. All right. Again, anybody can answer, but it has to be a hand up. Up to this point, at least, what is the name of the World Cup's oldest goal scorer? The name of the World Cup's oldest goal scorer, at least so far. You might have to be a little older than some of us here to remember, but we have a hand at the back there. Roger Miller is the correct answer. Excellent. Can we deliver a ball back there, Jude? Kicking it into the space. It's reasonable accuracy here. Roger Miller. Do anybody know how old he was? Roger Miller when he scored that goal for Cameroon? Older than 40. 42, someone said. Actually, many believe he was quite a bit older than that because no one ever found his birth certificate. But never mind. He played for Cameroon. That was in against Russia in 1994. Okay, third question, I think. Is that right? Or fourth? Third question. Okay, let's see. All right. This is one for the statisticians and the nerds who love numbers and things like that. Which country, up until this point in World Cup history, has had the most draws in the World Cup? What country would you predict would have the most draws in the World Cup, at least up until this point? No, it's not England. We haven't been in enough games over the years. Danny? Not Poland, no.
Russia.
Not Russia.
Spain.
Not Spain. Not France. Let me go over this way. Italy is the correct answer. One ball for Roger Peckham. 21 draws in World Cups. We got one left? Okay, one left. Let's see. Let me pick a good question for this last one. Okay. Yeah, okay. Which country scored the most goals in one game in World Cup history? Which country? Oh, a lot of hands up here. Let's go over there at the back. Not Germany. Who's next to you? Did you have your hand up? No? Okay, we're going to go back there. Not the Netherlands. No, we're going to go there. Not Brazil. Over there in the England shirt. I can't hear what you're saying. No, not you in the England shirt back there. I don't think so, if I can hear you correctly. We're going through the countries now. A few more countries.
Argentina.
Not Argentina.
Russia.
Not Russia.
Portugal.
Not Italy.
Uruguay.
Uruguay, not Uruguay.
Portugal.
No.
Colombia.
No.
Belgium.
No.
Iceland.
No. Not Spain. Not Portugal. Far back there. Not Switzerland. Not France.
Sweden.
Pardon? I can't hear you. Not Uruguay. Where? Not Belgium. Yes, what was that? What were you going to say? Not Brazil. Okay, I'm going to have to give you a clue.
England.
You think you know over there? Not the Netherlands. No. No Googling it, by the way. No.
Nigeria.
No. No. I thought we'd get it by now. This is taking forever. Okay, I'm going to give you a clue.
Mexico.
I'm going to give you a clue. European country. Narrow it down to one we haven't already mentioned. Ian. I got it. No, not England.
Croatia.
Croatia, no. Not Greece. Yes. Hungary, yes! Finally! Hungary! Ben gets a football.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that was. What was the score? Anybody know how many goals they scored?
13!
They scored 10 against the unhappy El Salvador. 10-1 was the score in that game. Oh my word, that was exhausting.
Nah.
I know it's hot, but I need to sit down. Here's the thing. The World Cup's a fantastic thing, whether you're into it or not. It's a great event, and millions, billions watch it. I would say this. I think being alive, just having life, is like you've already got into the World Cup. I mean, you think about the precious things that we have in life, friendships and special occasions and special events that happen and things that give us joy and pleasure. I mean, we really have arrived, especially, let's face it, us sitting here. I mean, so many people and so many parts of the world just don't have what we have. We really have it made here. The sunshine, I mean, aren't we glad it's not raining today, as it has done on some other occasions. And we're sitting here complaining about the possible sunstroke and heat, but the truth is, it's a glorious day. We've got lots of lovely food lined up for us. We've had a good sing-song. We're seeing a lot of our old friends. I mean, it's like we're in the World Cup. And life is amazing. Even if we didn't have all this, life is a precious gift. It's like you're in the World Cup. You've kind of made it. But here's the thing. The thing about going to the World Cup is not just going, it's about winning. It's about getting something special out of it. And we want to win, and I know most of us here, I'm sure, we don't want to just get through life. We want to wring everything out of it we can. We want to get the most out of it. It needs to mean something, our lives, rather than just exist. And part of that is the spiritual side of life. A fulfilled life cannot include an absence of spiritual meaning. A life with meaning can't have an absence of spirituality. Even those without faith in God would agree with this, most people. The spiritual component is vital if we're going to find meaning in our special, amazing lives. And therefore, we have to question ourselves as to why so often we prioritize the material over the spiritual. Some of us here recently graduated from university. I know Alex Clegg is feeling a great sense of relief at having finished his university studies and is looking forward to a summer of freedom, possibly job hunting, I don't know. And I remember that moment. It was quite a long time ago for me when I graduated. But the story is told of the chap who was graduating, who was called in by his professor for one last conversation before he left the university. He'd finished all his exams. The professor called him in. He said, I'd like to have one more just chat before you leave. The student came in and he was feeling good. And the professor said, please sit down. Let's have a little chat. And he said, okay. And he said, tell me, what are your plans from here? And the student said, well, I've got a job lined up. I'm excited about that. I've got a few weeks off and then I'm starting my new job. And the professor said, that's super. He said, and then? He said, well, after that, I'm hoping to progress in that career and do well and get into management and perhaps one day even have my own company. He said, oh, great. He said, and then? He said, well, I expect I'll get married because I'd like to get married. Okay. And then his professor said, well, I don't know. I suppose we'll have children. I would like to have, that's a bit far ahead, but I would like to have children one day. And the professor said, super. Okay. So, and then? He said, well, I don't know. I hope to do well in my job and earn good money and put my children through a good education and, and then I guess they'll leave home and themselves and get married and we'll be empty nesters. And the professor said, yeah, good, okay. So, and then he said, well, he said, I suppose I'll get to a certain age when I can retire and I can enjoy my retirement and I can go into all the things I didn't have time to do before when I was working a job full time. The professor said, that sounds very nice. He said, and then? And the chap said, well, I don't know. Our grandchildren will be doing some babysitting, I expect, and all that kind of stuff that grandparents apparently do, and that'll be nice. And the professor said, and then? And the chap said, well, I suppose then I'll die. And the professor said, and then? We can spend all our time and energy focusing on what's here and now and not prepare ourselves for the next life, because this isn't all there is. Don't silence that nagging voice in your heart that says there's more to it than this. Don't squish that. Don't press it down. Don't distract yourself from that voice in your heart that's saying you need to pay attention to the spiritual side of your life. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul writes this, talking about his growth in his relationship with Jesus. I haven't already obtained all this. I've not arrived at my goal, but I press on. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul knows that there is a prize waiting for him. And if he prepares well in this life, then he will enjoy it in the next. We have many good things lined up for us in this life, but many even better things in the next. And as we prepare in this life, we will be ready for what comes next. I'd like to encourage us to make sure that we prioritize that spiritual part of our lives that needs preparing, pressing on to find our purpose. And my one point today, and I really only have one point, and this is what I'd like to persuade you to do. So I'm telling you what I'd like you to do. This is what I would love you to do, whether you've got a lot of faith, a little bit of faith, whether you believe in Jesus or not, whether you have a religious background or not, whether you would count yourself a Christian or not, I have this one piece of advice to offer you that I believe, and with all my heart, can transform your life, better your life in every conceivable way, if you'll just do this one thing. And that is to let Jesus be your mentor. Let Jesus be your mentor in this life. Who else would you rather have as a mentor? Who's greater than him? I was thinking about if I was in a football team and I was hoping to win the World Cup, who would I like to have a conversation with that's already, you know, that could really help me? And I thought of the pundits. I thought of Alan Shearer or Gary Neville or Lineker or some of those people. I thought it'd be interesting to talk about how to win the World Cup from them. But then I thought, no, I wouldn't want to talk to any of them, much as I respect them. I would want to talk to Pelé.
Yeah.
Because I would want to talk to someone who'd won it, not someone who just took part. And isn't it the same with Jesus? We can talk to lots of people and read lots of books about what will make our lives better, and there's some good stuff in there, but the only person who's lived this life to its fullest and is living the next life to its fullest is Jesus. He's unique. There is no one with whom to compare him with. That's it. It's only him. And if we spend our lives getting all this other input and never finding out what Jesus has to say about this life and the next, we're missing out. Why miss out? I mean, that's what I want to urge us to think about today is, why miss out? Jesus isn't trying to give you a worse life or a worse next life. He wants you to have this life to its fullness and be prepared for what comes next. Why not let Jesus be your mentor? Why not read his teachings? Why not follow him a bit? Why not see what it would be like to allow him to speak into your life? Follow his thoughts and advice and see what it does for your life. I guarantee it will change your life if you let it. It will change it, I believe, for the better. A few years ago, I sat down with a man called Marvin. Marvin knew that he was dying. He didn't have very long to live. I sat down with him, and he didn't have any belief in God or anything like that. But I did sit with him, and I asked him, are you interested? You know you're going to die soon, Marvin. He said, yes, I know. I said, are you interested in God? He said, no. I said, are you interested in the Bible? He said, no. I said, do you know what's going to happen when you die? He said, no. I said, would you like to know what will happen when you die? And he paused. And he said, yes. I said, well, how about if I could introduce you to the only person who's lived this life and has lived the next life and knows what's going to happen? If I introduced you to him, would you be interested? He said, yeah. I said, okay. To do that, we're going to have to look at the Bible, because the only person I know who's done this is Jesus. He said, okay, you can read to me from your book. He never read the Bible. It's just a book. I said, okay. And so we started talking about Jesus and how he loves us and how he's come to make our lives full.
Amen.
And how he's come to prepare us for the next life and how he's come to help us to win at life and to win at the next life and have victory that only he can provide. And he listened. Over a period of days and weeks, he listened. He was 73 years old, I believe. And finally, with all of his illness, he climbed into a baptistry and decided that Jesus was going to be his mentor, was going to be the one he was going to follow, and he became a Christian.
Amen.
And he won. He won the cup. He won what life is really all about. And I would wish that for every single one of us here today. Don't let the opportunity that Jesus presents you with pass you by as if it's of little consequence. Because this life comes round only once. This is not a rehearsal. This is the real thing. And we need to pay attention to the spiritual component of our lives. Please. Make Jesus your mentor. Thank you very much.